next to the person of Jesus and the great debates that have been over his person, I think that the Holy Spirit has been a great battlefield in the American church, and in fact, churches all over the land. Not that it has been the cause of the battlefield, but we have made it the battlefield. Now, I'm not talking about churches as a corporate organization. I'm talking about the individual in their quest and in their study for meaning about the Holy Spirit. It's because we have so little lack of the inner workings of the Spirit, I feel that we don't really understand it. Now, it's not my purpose this morning to get into any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit at this time. I will say in passing that it is my full intention in subsequent sermons to deal with the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit and to answer some questions like these. Is it true that the Spirit's gifts were for the apostles only during their day? Is the evidence of spiritual renewal in our time making the work of the Holy Spirit today's most pressing issue? Is it true that no one receives a gift except for his own personal benefit? Are these gifts, namely these 9 spiritual gifts, are they for today? And why are so many evangelical Christians answering the question negatively, limiting these gifts to a day gone by? Well, these are many of the questions that we will talk about in forthcoming sermons. But the basis for these sermons will have to be predicated upon today's message in light of last Sunday's one about the energy crisis in the American church. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, to get the answer, we would go to God's Word. And in God's Word, we would search the Scriptures and we would discover that there are just a very few places where the phrase is mentioned, baptism of the Holy Spirit. One is Matthew 3:11. It reads like this: I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who comes after me is mightier than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, there are 4 of the Scriptures, Mark, Luke, and 2 in John, that say the same things. But for all practical purposes, this is one of the very few, Matthew 3:11, because the other verses are from the Synoptic Gospels and John, and by that we mean Scriptures that tell about the same thing. So Matthew 3:11 is a peg. The second comes from the book of Acts, Acts 11, and in Acts 1:5, which reads, while he was in their company, he told them not to leave Jerusalem. You must wait, he said, for the promise made by my Father about which you have heard me speak. John, as you know, baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and within the next few days. Now, these are the only Scriptures that I can find in God's Word which use the phrase baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are others that use the phrase filled with the Spirit. And it's my contention this morning that there is a difference, and I would like to explain to you my viewpoint on this. But to quickly say that my viewpoint may not be the right viewpoint, and it may not be your viewpoint. And aren't you glad you're in a community church where all viewpoints are accepted as like valid? And we do. And when we get to issues such as this, which are theological in nature, we must, that is, the pastor must, explain to his best what he believes and also what others he has learned believe, so that you can choose into which boat you want to row this week. And you may have opportunity to, and more ways than you know. The gift of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost was different from the gift of the Holy Spirit upon baptism. And we're going to immediately run into a hang-up of semantics using words that mean one thing for me and one thing to you. For example, I flew to church this morning. Now, somebody 20 years from now listening to this tape would say, my, he must have had an airplane. He flew to church. You know what I mean. But somebody else doesn't necessarily know what I mean. So there is a problem in language. When the manifestations were given very clearly upon the day of Pentecost, I feel this was a very definite historical occasion in the fulfillment of a prediction made by Joel in the Old Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, the gift of the Holy Spirit was given to individuals. Now, when I use the word gift of the Holy Spirit, I mean there were times when men, heavily endowed, endued within and without, spoke as messengers of God. They were, quote, filled with the Spirit of God. But in the New Testament, upon this day of Pentecost, God was then going to give His Spirit to a group, namely the church. The question can even be asked, was the birth of the church at Pentecost? Some say, indeed, that is when the church came into being. For there, God's Spirit came and the church became. Others say, as I am more inclined to believe, that the church was already there because Jesus had spoken about the church long before the day of Pentecost. But at the day of Pentecost, the Spirit came in such a way to the church that unified the church, brought unity to that group of people constituting the church. And it was at that point a consciousness on their part of its spiritual mission. They were endowed as a church with power, because the spiritual relationship of a person to the Lord constitutes that part of the whole universal church. Well, Joel predicted this. He said there will come a time when God would pour out His Spirit, and he was looking forward to that time, a specific historical event that occurred on the day of Pentecost. And the New Testament describes it very clearly to us.
Continue listening. Please continue listening. Please stay tuned.
Baptized into the church, followed by a, quote, baptism by the Christ Spirit. And this filling occurs like it occurred in so many places in the New Testament. But my thesis is that the Spirit of God was bestowed once and forever at Pentecost. And then we who come into the church are, as a result of that, baptized into the Spirit upon our conversion. And then after the point of conversion, we can, upon every occasion of our life, and as many times as you so desire, avail yourself of the Spirit of God. The assumption of the presence of His Spirit is available today for all believers if we just would receive it. So let me back up to say this. Receiving the Spirit was essential to becoming a Christian. Receiving the gift of the Spirit, that which today falls into charismatic movements and similar movements, is not an essential matter for salvation. I wish this was a dialogue sermon so I could get your thinking and try to put my point across. But the receiving the Spirit is a one-time thing when God endues you, endows you, infills you with His Spirit, and that's for salvation. And you can't get any more of it. You're there. You're saved. But once it is in you, you can call upon God's Spirit. And when you call upon God's Spirit in faith, you will have experiences that occur to you, and they will be so great that you might say, I'm being baptized in the Spirit. As many say this, and for them rightly so, but I choose to say you're being filled with the Spirit. You are latching on to that which is available at that point. A one-time event to the church was the Pentecostal experience. And the words are, by Jesus, you go forth to every part of the world. You proclaim the good news to the whole creation. Those who believe it and receive baptism will find salvation. Those who do not believe it will be condemned. Faith will bring these miracles. Believers will cast out devils in my name and speak in strange tongues. If they handle snakes or drink any poison that's deadly, they will come to no end. And those who are sick, on whom they lay their hands, will recover. These are the words of Jesus. Doubted by some because maybe the words aren't in all the best manuscripts, but I believe these are the words of Jesus. And so he is asking us then to be baptized into his Spirit, become that Christian, and then by faith you let the Spirit come to you as many times as you wish, so that you can do these great things. For example, experience these gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. But we always have hang-ups when we talk about baptism. When I say baptism, many of you think about the baptistry. You're baptizing somebody. Some schools of thought say that when you're baptized in the water, then you become baptized by the Spirit of God. In fact, I've listed five here that certainly will make everybody happy. Number one, you, when you become a Christian, are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Number two, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit when you go into the ordinance of baptism by pouring, sprinkling, or immersion. Three, it is a, quote, time after your conversion. Four, it's a repeated occurrence. And five, maybe none of these. But I spend many hours, and if I say 12, it'd be very close, trying to study and to determine for myself personally what this business of the baptism of the Spirit is all about. When I read examples in Acts, I see very clearly, when read carefully, that the baptism in the water is not the same thing as the gift of the Spirit. Let me share with you this very briefly. In Acts chapter 8, the people of the city of Samaria were present, and Philip preached to the group, and the whole group was baptized. Then Peter and John came down and laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not contradicting myself about baptism of the Holy Spirit and the receiving of the Holy Spirit. I indicated earlier I feel they're two different things. So here we have an example of some people who were saved and baptized, and then they received the Holy Spirit. In Acts 19, Paul's at Ephesus with a group of believers. He says, do you know about the baptism of Jesus? And they said, we never heard of such a thing. We were baptized with John's baptism. And so they were instructed, and then they were baptized. And very clearly, then the Holy Spirit came upon them. Well, this is real good. It would prove your point, if this was a point you were trying to prove. But then if you turn to Acts 10, you find the opposite thing happens. In Acts 10, with Cornelius and his household, we find that the Holy Spirit fell upon that household before they were baptized. There's clearly no connection between baptism and the gift of the Spirit. This shows clearly that baptism is not a condition of salvation, because it is said that the Holy Spirit fell on them, they even spoke with tongues, before anything was said about their being baptized in water. In the epistles of Paul, it is clear that every believer, when he believes, receives the Spirit. Every believer. You, in 20th century, King City, when you believe, you receive the Spirit of God. It's made very clear. You've become a Christian. It constitutes you a child of God. But then there are times when you can draw upon many gifts. You can draw upon much power. And at this time, it is the infilling of God's Spirit that you have drawn upon at that time. Receiving the Spirit is essential to becoming a Christian. receiving the gift of the Spirit, call it the baptism, an X experience, or call it anything you want to call it, it is not technically necessary for you to become saved. God's Word tells us many things about this Holy Spirit. As we read God's Word, and that's the only basis that we have to learn more about it, we find that when we accept Him as a personal Savior, this Holy Spirit comes into us, placing us into the body of Christ, which has already been indwelt by the Spirit of God. But we don't always have the power. And this is a thing that is disturbing so many Christians. Why is it, if I'm a Christian, I can't do what Jesus said do? It's a thing that disturbs us. It is why there is the energy crisis in the American church today. We don't have the power. Now, listen to this letter that came from a person. Up until now, my main complaint about the church, not community, but the church that they were attending, has been its sophisticated approach to religion. Everyone is afraid to show feelings for Jesus. Now, I know it's not just in our churches, it's in our lives. We aren't living, we're just existing. Each of us could be an active, vibrant being, alive with the Spirit. Now, when this occurs, some say they've been baptized in the Spirit. That's okay. Some say they have received the gift of the Spirit. That's okay. But it's my contention that we are not receiving these things from God as we should. And it's because, not that the power is not there, but we just don't claim it. Why do we get discouraged? Why do we get blue? Why do we not have victorious living? Why can't we stand up and hold our head high and claim these promises? It's because within us there is not that sound, firm faith in God. It's coming to the churches in America. We mentioned last week that maybe God's not even moving in America like He is moving certainly in some other countries. Our Catholic friends are getting the vibrations. In 1966 in Philadelphia, this charismatic renewal began with its origin there, and it spread to hundreds of communities through the Catholic Church. Not only our Catholic friends, but it's being evident in all the mainline denominations, where here and there, and though sometimes misused, but basically here and there, people are beginning to accept what God has said in the Bible and claim the promises. It takes place when people have hands laid upon them or when they don't have hands laid upon them. From this Catholic writing, it says, it may be with thy gesture or without the gesture. It may be at home, it may be at school, at work, at mass, it may be in the car, but it is always in expectant faith. It would be very false to characterize this newfound faith life that's happening in churches across the country as purely emotional experiences. But certainly human emotions are tied up in this, because you can't divorce human emotions from your love and from your acting and from your response emotionally to the people around you. And some denominational Pentecostals hold that unless one speaks in tongues, they've not received the Spirit. I'm quoting. One would say that if you accept Jesus and you become a Christian, then you draw this available power to your life, and when you have the infilling, then you will speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it is what happens when you are baptized in the Spirit. You don't have to speak in tongues in order to be saved. You don't have to speak in tongues in order to live and to have the Holy Spirit in you. And you don't have to speak in tongues to have times of feeling filled with the Holy Spirit. But the free and full outpouring that is in, quote, baptism of the Holy Spirit, you must expect this to happen. The other that I think I the Spirit of God might be you. Well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit makes its formal introduction to the believer into the church. And let me say, it seems to me beyond a question of the matter of experience, both in Christians in this present day and in the early days of the church, that there seems to be something wrong, because I don't see God's Spirit working as much as I would like to see it working. And so if the Spirit of God hasn't changed, it means that I've changed. It means that you've changed. It means we, the real believers of Jesus, have changed. We've been called to discipleship. Jesus said, you go out and teach and you baptize. You spread the word. And he says, I'll send you forth in my power. And when you have this power, things are going to happen in your life. It's something that just is going to happen, whether you may even want it or not. If you just will release yourself into the presence of God and say, God, I want my spirit to vibrate with your spirit. Because I read in the Bible that the promise is unto you and to all that are afar off. Acts 2:39. It's to all that are afar off. That includes me in 1973 and those that will come years after this. In conclusion, may I say this, that this filling of God's Spirit comes when there's
an individual requests it.
There is an occasion when that blessing comes to a man for the very first time. And from that first time, from that spiritual crisis, then he can date his future spiritual fillings. But God's Spirit comes to you in simple faith when you say, Lord, I can't save myself. You save me. You come into my heart. You baptize me with your Holy Spirit. I want to be baptized into the church. And then, from that point on, I want to accept all the faith that's mine, to accept all of the gifts that are mine. A person went to heaven one day. When they got there, she was so surprised. She went into one room and she found a lot of bundles. And a lot of those bundles had her name on them. And she said, my, angel friend of mine, these are the things that I prayed for when I was dying. Well, this is the thing I prayed for that day after church. There it is right there. And this bundle over here is the identical thing that I asked so fervently for. Do you know why that person didn't get answers to their prayers? May I say, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is upon the church. It was a fulfillment at the day of Pentecost. May I say that a believer is baptized into the church, not into the water. And may I say that a believer receives this gift, receives this, quote, baptism, receives this experience in their Christian life when by faith they claim it. So all I can say, my friend, is that this week, why be a spiritual pauper when you can receive? You just have to say, Lord, I want it. Give me your blessing. May we stand as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, there is so much we don't know, and there is so much that we want to know. But at least the important things to know would be that we ourselves just can't make it without you. But with you, we make it. And we're not talking about going to heaven. We're talking about just making it in this world. Because living is hard. And indeed, there are things that pull us down as Christians. And the devil, with his effectiveness, places before us the stumbling blocks over which we fall. Give us eyes to behold and ears to hear, our Father, of these great scriptural truths that you would have for us. For those this morning who have never in their whole life accepted you as their Savior, we pray that right now they just would say, Lord, I want you to save me. And for those Christians who have lived so many years a mundane Christian life, we pray that right now they would say, Lord, I want my life to change. I want to see things differently. I want to experience things differently. I just want to be a different person, and I believe it can happen. We pray as we sing this concluding hymn, our Father, that the Spirit of God would descend upon our hearts and that you would give courage to those people to step out on that profession of faith or to unite with our church by the transfer of letter or by statement. We believe it, our Father, and we pray you would speak to us as we sing this concluding hymn. Amen. Hymn number 91, Spirit of God, Descend Upon My Heart.